Last weekend, Father Lindell and I began our Advent homilies around the theme of cleaning out the manger and putting in fresh straw so that our hearts can be like the manger, you know, prepared to receive the Christ child. And so one of the major obstacles that we see in our world today, and something that's important to make sure that we clean out from our hearts, is indifference in the spiritual life. You know, how common is it today that people will not attend church at all or not enter into any meaningful life of prayer and just think that it's okay just to ignore those things? You know, it's easy for us to focus on our physical needs. You know, if we're hungry or need shelter, that's a pretty urgent thing for us to focus on and make sure we have provided for. You know, but if people don't go to church or if they don't pray, you know, it might seem at first like it's not that big of a deal because life goes on. You know, nobody's going to keel over and die because they don't come to church on a particular day. You know, there was an individual I knew who stopped practicing the faith after many, many decades. And what she said was, "I just don't miss it." You know, after all these years, she just left the church and just didn't seem to matter that much. And so this is such a common attitude around us. And so as we look at our gospel today, it indicates several reasons why our faith is a big deal, why it is important, and why we can't be indifferent to it. You know, when John the Baptist proclaims his message, he's not just proclaiming the coming of a king or the coming of a Messiah. He's proclaiming the coming of God himself. When he says, "Prepare the way of the Lord refers to the God of Israel. And so what he's telling people is that very soon they're going to come face to face with the creator of the entire universe, of the one who existed from all time and who brought all things into existence. He came once and he's going to come again. And so none of us can avoid that or pretend like it doesn't matter. One day we will stand before the all-powerful God of the universe, a being of infinite glory and majesty." And as we continue through the gospel, I think one of the important things about the gospel is the geographic location. It says the people were going out to the wilderness to John the Baptist. You know, he was not in Jerusalem or one of the major cities. You know, people were going out into the wilderness to the Jordan River. And the place where John was baptizing was very significant because that was the location where the people of Israel, after they had spent 40 years in the desert on the Exodus, that's the place where they crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And so the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and when they stepped into the Jordan River, it stopped flowing, and the waters backed up on one side and cleared out on the other, and the people of Israel passed over the Jordan River on dry land to enter the Promised Land. And so the symbolism of that is that the Messiah is going to come and lead us on a new exodus. John the Baptist goes to where the first exodus ended. And he's saying that a new exodus is beginning and the Lord is going to come and lead his people to the true promised land, which is eternity and eternal life. And so if God himself is coming to lead us on a new exodus and to take us to the true promised land, how can we be indifferent to that? Imagine saying to the all-powerful God of the universe, who's come to lead us to eternal life in the new Exodus, "Well, thank you very much, but I got more important things to worry about right now." So this conveys to us the importance of what's going on here. And so, you know, how does indifference take root? You know, what causes that and what can we do about it? Often indifference starts by ignoring the moral law or just downplaying it as if it's not that important or it doesn't really apply to us. If we start to ignore elements of the moral law. Over time, small sins will become things that we don't even think about. And big sins will start to seem very small. You know, our conscience over time will become desensitized. And if that continues, an element of pride can seep into our spiritual lives. We begin to think that morally we're a lot better than we really are, because we'll think, well, you know, we're doing pretty well, we're not committing that many sins, because we're really not seeing the sins that we are committing. And people might be committing grave sins, like cursing the Lord's name, or skipping Sunday Mass, or harming people for their own advancement. And they might just ignore those things and think, well, I'm doing pretty good morally. And if that continues, that pride can eventually get to the point where people resent the moral law. And they'll say things like, you know, who are you to tell me that I can't do this, or I have to do this particular thing? You know, the moral law begins to interfere with me getting what I want, and therefore people can start to retaliate against the moral law. You know, how many people do we see today lashing out against the church because of the teachings on marriage or whatever it might be? You know, people will retaliate against the church. And so what can happen as people become desensitized to the moral law is they can end up in a worse position than if they committed a mortal sin. Because if someone commits a mortal sin, they can repent of that, go to confession, and be forgiven. But if someone is gradually weakened over time to the point where they're committing all sorts of sin and don't even realize it, then that's a very dangerous position to be in morally. And so what's the remedy to that? You know, how do we prevent ourselves from becoming indifferent? Well, one of the ways is to do a very careful examination of conscience. You know, it's good to do an examination of conscience frequently, and even every day, it's a good practice to do an examination of conscience. But we have to be careful when we do that, that we're being honest with ourselves and not just ignoring things in our life or sugarcoating and looking and being like, oh yeah, I think I did really, really well, haven't committed any sins. You know, we have to be careful to examine ourselves. You know, if we think about things like, you know, when someone does something wrong to us, are we still kind to them and quick to forgive? Or is our initial reaction to be resentful? If we're resentful, that's something we need to root out. Or when someone asks us for help, are we very quick and eager to help them? Or is our first thought, well, I'd rather be staying here on the couch for a while? If we're thinking that, that needs to be rooted out. Or are we looking for praise or affirmation in the things that we do instead of doing them humbly without expecting any recognition? You know, those are things that we might easily overlook, but if we do a careful examination of conscience, we'll begin to see those things and recognize our need for Christ, our need for the sacrament of confession, our need for a life of prayer. And so three things that are very important for maintaining a healthy spiritual life are going to be doing a careful examination of conscience along with confession and making sure we're doing mental prayer on a daily basis and fulfilling our responsibilities in our state of life. You know, if we do those things, we'll make sure that'll help to ensure that in our spiritual lives there's strong devotion and we don't become indifferent. And so as we reflect upon today's gospel, you know, God himself has come into the world in order to lead us on a new exodus to the promised land. And on our part, it's important for us to recognize how important that is and to clear out any indifference to the faith that might be within us and make sure that we fill the manger of our hearts with a healthy and a fervent interior life through doing careful examinations of conscience and confession and through a consistent life of prayer and fulfilling our responsibilities in our state of life.